Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. We've just learned at least 9 people were killed in a fire at an assisted living facility southeast of Providence last night. Fall River, Massachusetts Fire Chief Jeffrey Bacon.
Crews were met with heavy fire coming through the main entrance and multiple people hanging out the windows, looking to be rescued.
The search suspended for 166 people still missing in July 4th's flash flooding after new floods in central Texas. KRLD's Chris Fox.
3 additional inches of rain stalled the recovery effort in Kerr County. As much as 9 inches of rain north of there.
President Trump's expected to announce a plan to sell weapons to NATO allies to be passed on to Ukraine.
The European Union is paying for it. We're not paying anything for it, but we will send it. It'll be business for us, and we will send them Patriots, which they desperately need.
Mr. Trump set to meet with NATO Secretary General at the White House today. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK News brought to you by the Summer Splash Dog Show at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to July 27th. Fun for the whole family. WaukeshaSummerSplash.com.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Shali Pittman. 7-year-old Jamal White has been found safe after being kidnapped at gunpoint outside his home on Friday. Community members came together for a search on Saturday, and in less than 24 hours, an Amber Alert was canceled after he was found safe 7 miles away. A date is set for the trial of a Racine County man accused of requesting absentee ballot applications, Harry Waite, a conservative activist and founder of HOT, that's Honest, Open, and Transparent Government, is scheduled to go to trial in February 2026. A Walworth County judge set the date last Friday. Waite faces 2 felony charges of misappropriating ID and 2 misdemeanor charges of election fraud. Waite admits he requested ballots for officials like Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Racine Mayor Corey Mason. Waite says he's a whistleblower and was exposing vulnerabilities in the state's online voter portal. Waite described Wisconsin's online voter portal as, quote, a rogue system to investigative news outlet ProPublica. He was once represented in the case by former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, who himself led a taxpayer-funded investigation into the 2020 election without any findings of voter fraud. And the city of Racine could be moving ahead with plans to add 3 new electric buses to replace some of its diesel fleet. The $4.5 million purchase, mostly funded by a federal clean vehicle grant, is going before the city council tomorrow. If approved, the city would buy from a new manufacturer because the one approved in 2023 is going bankrupt. The change means getting 1 fewer bus than originally planned. It would bring Ride Racine's electric fleet to an even dozen. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Shali Pittman.
The Brewers sweep the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat Washington 8-1 to complete a 3-game sweep heading into the All-Star break. But manager Pat Murphy said they weren't playing their best ball.
We weren't on all cylinders by any stretch in the last 3 games, but we had big innings and we did what we had to do. And, you know, there were some unique performances, but it's Major League Baseball. Anytime you can win 3 games, you're lucky in a series. So it wasn't like we walked away with anything.
Right fielder Sal Frelick undergoing an MRI after making a sliding catch in foul territory, suffering a hamstring injury. Last night in the MLB draft, the Brewers selecting 5 new players, 2 infielders, 3 pitchers. The draft continues today. NBA, the Bucks introducing Miles Turner as their new center, picked up in free agency from the Pacers. Turner asked if he's heard from Giannis yet.
Yeah, we texted back just a little bit, you know, but he was on vacation and I was on vacation, so, you know, I know how that go.
That's the Bucks' Miles Turner with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 84 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping into the upper 60s to near 70. Tomorrow, sunshine 84. We could see a few scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Bring the whole family to the Waukesha Kennel Club's Summer Splash Dog Shows at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to 27th.
Enjoy exciting events like dock diving, fast cat racing, obedience, and the thrilling best of show competition. It's fun for all ages. Check out the vendors and find the best pet supplies for your furry friends. It's the perfect weekend for dog lovers and families alike. Sponsored by Royal Canin at 540 AM WAUK. Visit WaukeshaSummerSplash.com for all the details.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinere. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning, 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Monday morning, July 14th, 2025. Parker Olson producing this show down in Madison Studio A2, and Selena Heller, Up North News reporter, standing by in Eau Claire, Dr. Kristen Lyerly in the Green Bay area, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be joining us as well to talk about the forecast for the start of this week. And Brittany, we'll just get right into it, because the forecast for yesterday, it didn't matter what the forecast was. You're going to get smoke no matter what up here. It was super heavy, and it was just best not to even try to go outside until later when it dissipated. And we'll talk a bit about that, about some members of Congress writing a letter of complaint to Canada. I mean, talk about a case of old man shakes fist at cloud. But the larger concern for us here is, while it has certainly dissipated, you know, since its peak yesterday afternoon, are we kind of past that peak? Or I know these things kind of come and go in cycles. What are we looking at from that standpoint as we head into the rest of the weather forecast for today?
Absolutely. So one of the main things, I don't know if you've noticed, it seems like either we get a stormy, hot and humid kind of day, or we get the more comfortable but wildfire smoke hazy days. And that's happening because of a high pressure system. So as the high pressure system moves into the area and we've got a prevailing wind mainly out of the northwest from the Canada direction, it starts to pull in that air right to Wisconsin. And then the high pressure system actually sinks and calms the air. So it's pulling everything way up high in the atmosphere down to the ground and allowing it to settle. And that's where we are really breathing it in and feeling those effects. So today, yes, we still have a high pressure system covering a majority of the state. A lot of the bad or worse air quality is staying stuck to the east side and far up north. So pretty much by the lakes right now. We are still seeing it kind of wanting to increase to a moderate to unhealthy level still through this afternoon and into this evening, again, especially north and east. So statewide, that wildfire smoke air quality alert is still in effect, and we can expect another sunny but hazy type of day. It will be warm, but it will be dry. Highs will hit the mid-80s all across the state, and it's going to be slightly sticky and humid, especially off to the west and right where this front is draped. We have a stalled front over northwest Wisconsin right now, and it's going to ever so slowly nudge in towards central Wisconsin, more north-central, by this evening. Some showers, maybe a tiny isolated storm could spark from that. Chances are very, very low. That is the chance, and that's kind of that front there. So once that moves through, we'll start to see some better air quality conditions. But for now, especially south of that front, it's not looking too good today.
All right, let's check the mailbag here from Tigerton. Rob says, good morning. It's sunny and hazy and 65. I got my lawn jobs in Wittenberg today, battling the smoke. I had a mowing job Saturday afternoon after getting 6/10 of an inch of rain Friday night. It's the 30th anniversary of the 1995 heat wave that hit Wisconsin from July 12th to 15th. Seven people died there. He says, congratulations, Pat, on your 600th show and letting me be a part of it. It is must-listen radio every weekday morning. He says, today is my sister Debbie's birthday. She is 54 years old. Well, you may not get another birthday now after sharing your sister's age on the radio like that, Rob, but that's okay. Rob also said, as part of Lasagna Awareness Month, he made lasagna yesterday for supper, and he does try to cook there. He said he took a picture of the sunset Saturday with the smoke and haze, and it made Channel 2 in Green Bay. That sunset last night up here through that smoke, I mean, that sun was huge and so red.
Yes.
And gorgeous. To be honest, but
I was going to say, that's the only positive of the wildfire smoke, that, I feel.
Yes, that really is exactly it. Let's see. Alicia says, happy 600th episode here. Let's see, from Joe in Superior. Oh, we talked about in our last segment, The Who, as an opening act for Herman's Hermits back in the day. Joe says, my wife from Babbitt, Minnesota, attended the Herman's Hermits Who concert in Duluth as a young girl, and she was shocked when they smashed their guitars.
Ah.
I don't know if the Who was doing that at the Herman Hermits show. Maybe, I guess, you know, that would be a shocking thing coming off of Herman's Hermits. Text from Rosemary and Oliva. What three states is Civic Media now broadcasting from? We mentioned earlier about Civic Media expanding and now has stations in Michigan and Minnesota as well. So the empire just grew. Brittany has so many more places where she's got to do a forecast for.
But I know. But hey, it's nice because Minnesota, we always get their stuff. So it's easy, yeah. Easy.
Yeah, so it's like pre-casting for all, yes, of us. You know, you're up to the challenge. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
All right. A reminder, as always, you can subscribe to the Up North News daily newsletter. Head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner on top of the homepage. You can get our weekday newsletter, and you can get the Sunday morning politics newsletter that I put together. And we have already received a lot of responses to our question of the week, which I have to say, I kind of came up with on a lark as I was writing the newsletter. And it's the consternation over the winner of the Democratic mayoral primary in New York City, Zoran Mamdani. And people saying that he is just taking the party too far to the left, like AOC and Bernie Sanders and all those, and that it's going to turn off moderates and it's going to cost Democrats elections. However, there is also a contingent that is so happy to see some Democrats not be so squishy anymore and actually say what you stand for, because it is in line with the values of a majority of Americans. So which is it for Democrats? Are they going too far to the left, or is that just right? Or is the party a big tent and it's got room for everybody? So we joke about Democrats in disarray. We have certainly seen Republicans in disarray. We're talking about the Democrats this time in our question of the week. So sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, or send us your thoughts by email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or put something in the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube where you can watch us live doing this little shindig every day. Selena Heller does some of that reporting for us at Up North News, and one of the stories she's been working on lately deals with farmers who have been watching President Trump's trade war with our trading partners, allies, and friends, because why wouldn't you declare war on your friends, right? And the uncertainty that's brought to farmers. Now, Selena, the White House promised 90 trade deals in 90 days with 90 countries. And the correct answer so far is almost one. There's one trade deal that is almost official and not much else. And Selena, you talked to farmers who would certainly like a little bit more certainty when it comes to their ag export markets.
Oh my goodness, yes. And, you know, I talked to them like in the fall too, and it was kind of the same message. It's things need to be stable and not all of this uncertainty and changing, and what can we plan for? It's so hard to plan for the future and buying their supplies and, you know, for their fields. And I mean, just everything, they just need some certainty. And there are so many variables in farming, like, you know, the weather. So they'd like, just like something to be something that they can grab a hold of and plan for. So yes.
And so you talked to are we hearing just from one Chippewa County farmer in this clip?
A couple of them. Les Danielson is from Kadat, and then we were at the Peck Family Farm, which is just outside of Chippewa Falls, and that is Jeff Peck, and he talks about all of that too. And Tammy Baldwin, Senator Tammy Baldwin, came for a visit to the farm, and they talked to her about kind of all of the problems that they can potentially have with all of this uncertainty.
Here's a little 2-minute compilation of the people that she talked to about the uncertainty that Wisconsin farmers continue to face today.
As you disrupt our trade, it's a huge problem. Mm-hmm. You can't emphasize enough.
It takes a long time sometimes to build those relationships, but you can break them pretty quickly. You gotta be a good neighbor. You know, it's still business at the end of the day, so we have to have good business deals, but you also gotta go about it the right way.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin toured the Peck Family Farm in Chippewa Falls and talked with local producers and farmers about how Trump's trade war is hurting their operations and causing uncertainty.
You know, farms are usually a very narrow margin and sometimes, unfortunately, a negative margin. So anytime you have uncertainty and prices jumping around, that just is an extra challenge that we would prefer not to have.
When you look at Wisconsin, the northern part of Wisconsin, the central part of Wisconsin, a lot of the money that comes into these counties comes from ag commodities, whether it be corn, soybeans, or beef. That's what keeps these small towns in business, like Thorpe, Stanley, Gilman. You know, that's what they survive on, is the farmers doing well. So it's really important that we maintain these trade agreements, that we're able to export our ag products and keep the prices up, because that's what supports rural America.
In the first months of his administration, President Trump launched a trade war with Wisconsin's three largest trading partners, Canada, Mexico, and China, increasing input costs, cutting off export markets, and making it harder for farmers and producers to plan for the future.
The biggest problems we have is we don't know the cost of our inputs, whether it be our fertilizer, our crop protection products like our chemicals. A lot of those come from China. A lot of our fertilizer comes from Canada. Then on the other end of the scale, a lot of our products are exported. 20% of our soybeans last year went to China. 5% of our ethanol goes to Canada. And as we have disruptions with our major buyers, where we're going to sell our product.
The president campaigned on bringing grocery costs down, bringing other costs down. And the policies that he's put forward have been producing just the opposite result.
I didn't think we'd have this many problems with our allies like Canada and Mexico. I'm not surprised some of the other countries, but do we have any friends? You know, is it America first or is it America alone?
And I think that was the perfect way to end this. Is it America first or America alone? And people are seeing that one thing that Donald Trump promised on the campaign trail is turning into something a little bit different here. And now with that recent trade deal deadline passing, we still don't know what's next. Do they extend the deadline? What does this mean? And again, if you're trying to plan, you know, say, what are you going to plant next year, or how many cows you're going to milk, anything like that, there's still nothing new from this White House that helps farmers know what they can expect for a business plan.
Yeah. And of course they knew all of this they expected all of this to come just exactly as it played out. And like I talked with Les last fall, and it was kind of like I talked to him that day, and he said, and I said, you know, this is exactly what you expected. And he said, yeah, unfortunately, that's the case. But anytime they can kind of try to get the word out how important farms are, no matter who it is, to anybody, any legislator that will come, they will try to tell the importance of farms in a community.
And by the way, it's not just farms. Kristen and I have talked about things like occupations, tourists, medical students. With tourism down, international tourism is down, international education is going to be down, which, and then the limits on loans, Kristen, for student loans, there's absolutely nothing there that indicates anything but a continuing shortage in many areas. Medicine right up there at the top of the list.
It's true, but I want to go back to farmers because we all come from farmers. I mean, Pat, your wife grew up on a dairy farm. My mom grew up on a dairy farm that my uncle still owns. Selena, we are all from farmers. And what do you know about farmers? They're not political. They're incredibly practical, and they will roll with the punches until they just can't roll anymore. And that's what they've done for generations and generations. And they have hit a breaking point right now where our leaders are not supporting them, just lip service. All they're getting is lip service. They need support, because if they don't get support, We don't get food. We have to support our farmers.
Yeah. Selena Heller, Up North News reporter, Dr. Kristen Lyerly here as well. A local update is next for some of you. And then we'll continue along here live from Lake Wissota, from the heart of America's Up North. Thank you for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hands a big win to the environment. The court ruled it's unconstitutional for a legislative committee to block rules created by state agencies. The decision means good environmental rules now face an easier path to getting to the finish line and becoming law. For years, legislative vetoes by a handful of legislators stymied a long list of environmental protections. After more than 30 years, the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program is going unfunded. Money for the legacy program was stripped out of the budget by the Joint Committee on Finance. The program helps preserve our state's wildlife areas and fisheries through land purchases and grants. Now that the budget has been signed, it's unclear how the vital program will continue, although there is talk of a standalone bill that would revive it. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Good morning, happy Monday, and this is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. If you know me, you know I'm a huge fan of the Brewers, and right now the Brewers are absolutely on fire with an effort to crawl their way up the division in the Central to make their way to first place as they're doing against the Northsiders from Chicago, i.e. the Cubs, but we don't talk about them here. Last week, they had a tremendous run against the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, sweeping them all three games, which was absolutely unprecedented from a team that was not expected to play like they've been playing lately. With a bullpen that's coming into focus and bats that are undeniable, making the point that just because you have a guy you're paying $800 million to, we still have a team that can take the broom out and sweep you all the way back to LA. To go even deeper into what happened last week, Don Rosen sat down with Civic Media's very own sports journalist Mike Clemens to talk about the games and what beating a megastar team like the Dodgers means for Milwaukee.
All right, it's our chat with Mike Clemens. We're going to talk sports. The Brewers, as my brother used to say, hot as a pistol. They're doing really well.
They are. And, you know, they really pulled off a surprise because the Dodgers come to town, the best team in the National League, the former defending champions, and there's a big spotlight, and there was a huge contingency of reporters from L.A., not only just from Los Angeles, but from Japan. like the NHK network was there, like 18 to 20 people that work for networks that, because, you know, Japan, the Dodgers are their team, so from across the Pacific. So it was a very interesting weekend. The place was packed, kind of felt like a playoff game. And the Dodgers got, and the Brewers got and beat the Dodgers 9-1 in the first game. It's just amazing. They get five runs in the first inning, and then the big matchup on Tuesday night that was carried nationally on TBS with the Miz, the 23-year-old Jacob Mizorowski for the Brewers against Clayton Kershaw, and they win that one 3-1. He gives up a home run to the famous Shohei Ohtani, $700 million player for the Dodgers as a leadoff batter, but then he settles in and strikes out 12 of the Dodgers' batters on the way to a win, and then they win again. So they sweep them three games in a row, the Brewers over the Dodgers. And so what's still great, Don, about covering baseball is the access. I mean, you walk into the Dodgers clubhouse, and it's more like walking into the Packers clubhouse. There's older, bigger dudes, you know, 6'4", 6'5", that look like, you know, Tucker Kraft, the tight end for the Packers. And then you get into the clubhouse and then into the manager's office. And I'm sitting in there talking to Dave Roberts, you know, one of the best managers in the business that led the team to the World Series last year. And you could see him really frustrated after losing three in a row to Milwaukee.
You know, it's tough when you're a manager or a coach on a team and you just lost. And now you got to talk to the press. I mean, what are you going to say?
Well, he's a pro and he's articulate, smart guy. And then after that, you know what? He was very open with us, kind of let his hair down and all that. And then somebody said, "Are you going back tonight?" He goes, "No, no." He says, "You know what? I got an invite. I'm going to take it." He stayed in Wisconsin yesterday. He didn't go back with the team Wednesday night. He stayed in Wisconsin to go golfing, maybe Erin Hills or something like that. And then he was going to take, you know, his old a private jet back to San Francisco because they got a series starting tonight against their division rival, the Giants, tonight. But, you know, it's just great access and just a ton of great stories this week, you know, covering those guys. Like Shohei Ohtani, you know, 6'4", 209 pounds, $700 million. And, you know, he got that leadoff home run against the Miz, but then, you know, they were striking him out. He's a guy, by the way, he sleeps at least 10 hours a day. Also takes like a two-hour nap before the game. And he brings his own portable mattress when they go on the road so he has a consistent sleep wherever he goes. You know, that's what's going on the other side.
A $700 million mattress. All right.
I guess so.
Let's talk about the Brewers' closing pitcher.
Trevor McGill, who is going to the All-Star game and is very excited about that. He's a guy who, you know, got kicked out of high school, went to a charter school, had to have Tommy John surgery as a kid, you know, at the college level, got drafted, bounced around a couple of teams, and then was with the Cubs. And at 30 years old, Matt Arnold, who's doing a tremendous job as the Brewers GM and these guys that he's bringing in and finding, puts him on the mound as a closer for Devin Williams, who, you know, had that injury last year. And now this is your closer, 31 years old, and he's worked really hard and is performing tremendously right now. And now he gets the call to go to the All-Star game because Freddy Peralta is going to pitch on Sunday. He'd been named to the All-Star game. And so we asked Pat Murphy, Don, who's doing such a great job of pushing all the buttons in that clubhouse, what kind of a guy is he? We see the competitor and the athlete in McGill on the field. What's this guy like in the clubhouse?
You know what? He's given to the team. He's if you don't know him, he's a tremendous giver. You know what I mean? He gives a lot of himself, and he's got his ways about him. It takes a while to get to know him. He's been through a lot in life. He's way more mature than you give a normal kid his age credit. And he really just loves being part of something and being an important piece of something. And now that he's found this home, last year some, you know, he was a big part of it. But this year a lot. And he's given that responsibility. He loves it. So he's very, very grateful, very, very thankful. Yeah, I'm pumped for him. Really pumped for him. There's a lot of deserving guys, you know, on our team, in my opinion. But I don't put the chess pieces together on who fits and who doesn't and who is voted. I don't even know how it works. I don't want to know. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a great honor, but it doesn't define you in any way.
If you like what you heard there, you can hear Mike Clemens on Don Rosen's show every Friday when they sit down to talk about everything going on in the world of Wisconsin sports. And one of the best ways to hear that is by downloading the Civic Media app. Download it to your device now. It's easy, simple, free. It's customizable, and you can take it anywhere, anytime you want. Listen to us on the go. It's that simple. So go to the Apple or Google Play Store, find Civic Media, and you can download the app right now. It's absolutely free. A pun on Monday morning. You are welcome. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
At this time of the year, we talk a lot about auctions, on farm auctions, auctions at the county fair. But beginning today, a unique auction giving you an opportunity. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. That's because today through the 21st, the Bureau of Land Management within the U.S. Department of the Interior hosting their online corral auction, giving you a chance to adopt and buy wild horses and donkeys. Jason Luderman from the National Wild Horse and Burro Program says it's your chance to give these animals not only a good home, but potentially find yourself a good work partner. He says donkeys, for example, can do many different things.
So a lot of people use them as guard animals. Burros make great guard animals. They'll run off coyotes or other predators that might threaten your herd. A lot of people just keep them as pets. I mean, you look at take one look at one of those burros, and you'll see why. They're very cute animals, and a lot of people have them around as pets or livestock guardians. Some people take them on the trails as well. They can be used as pack animals. Basically, anything you want a donkey to do, that's what this burro is for.
Jason Luderman with the National Wild Horse and Burro Program. He says they do this auction about every 4 to 5 years to make sure that the animal numbers in rangeland in the West aren't becoming overcrowded and that the animals stay healthy. If you're interested in getting involved, again, the online sale from now through the 21st, and the pre-application process takes less than a business day to complete. We've got a link up on our website now, MidwestFarmReport.com.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
.com.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
There's a quick update for you on food and farming news for a Monday. Remember, our talk text line is open to you anytime. Communicate directly with us by calling or texting 877-301-FARM. I'm Pam Yonke.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 84 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping into the upper 60s to near 70. Tomorrow, sunshine 84. We could see a few scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
$7.35 back here on the Civic Media Radio Network, or perhaps you're listening later on as a podcast or watching us later on Facebook or YouTube. Well, a reminder, if you're not one of those people potting us, you can head over to Spotify and sign up to follow our show as a podcast. You can do it at Apple as well, or any of those other places where you get your favorite podcasts. And I know that there's at least one new subscriber on Spotify because in visiting my mom yesterday, Kristen and Parker,
Patrick,
one of my sisters set her up on her iPad with Spotify so that she could listen to her music, meaning the 50s and 60s, you know.
There you go.
And so I said, oh, let me see that. Looked at her Spotify, clicked a couple of buttons and said, congratulations, you're my newest subscriber.
Padding your stats. I like it.
Yep. Hey, I will come to your house too and do the same thing if you like. Just let me know.
Probably like that, Pat. Yep. He's on the radio again.
Well, she normally listens over, you know, like Facebook instead or something, but now she's got a new way to do it. So good for you, Mom. Good job.
Hi, Mom.
letting your son borrow that iPad for just a moment here. I mentioned a minute ago that there were members of Congress, including two from Wisconsin, who felt the need to send a letter to Canada. That would include, it was Tom Tiffany and Glenn Grothman, who joined with some other members of Congress from Minnesota, sending a letter to complain about wildfire smoke. And they blamed, quote, the lack of active forest management for the spread of the wildfires. And the letter goes on to say, our constituents have been limited in their ability to go outside and safely breathe due to the dangerous air quality the wildfire smoke has created. In our neck of the woods, summer months are the best time of the year to spend time outdoors, recreating, enjoying time with family, and creating new memories. But this wildfire smoke makes it difficult to do all these things. I might have added some dramatic flair to that, but how do you suppose that letter was received by the Canadian Forest Service, Kristen?
Embarrassing.
It is. It's embarrassing. And it sparked a robust response from the Premier of Manitoba, who accused the members of Congress of trivializing the efforts to battle the fires. And he writes, this is what turns people off politics. When you've got a group of congresspeople trying to trivialize and make hay out of a wildfire season where we've lost lives in our province. I have shaken the hands of American firefighters in northern Manitoba who are helping us out, and I would challenge these ambulance chasers in the U.S. Congress to go and do the same and to hear how much the American firefighting heroes who are here love our province. I mean, it really was about the least neighborly thing you could expect Tiffany and Grothman and the others to do.
First of all, if you have a breathing disability or disorder, please take care of yourself. The air quality is not good. So seek shelter, wear a mask, stay in your house where you have filtered air. This will pass. Second of all, oh, Canada, I'm so sorry. Did you see the ad that the Quebec tourism folks put out about America?
No.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a fella who's checking into a Quebec hotel, and she asks, where are you from? And he says, I'm an American. And she goes, and she hits a button under her desk, and the desk opens, and she walks out and just gives him a hug. And it says, Americans, you are welcome. Please come and visit us here in Quebec. And it is so beautiful because they know, they understand. Every Canadian that I've talked to understands that this is not how Americans are, but it's how our leaders are acting. And it is just, it's embarrassing and it's so, so wrong.
Yes, it is. Our leaders and just enough Americans, and many of them were at the Turning Point conference over the weekend to again put on a display worthy of our apologies to Canada and others. Congressman Tiffany put up on Twitter, another weekend of Canadian wildfire smoke and air quality warnings across Wisconsin and Minnesota. With today's modern tools to prevent wildfires, this shouldn't keep happening. By today's modern tools, I think we know what Tom Tiffany means by that. You know, Captain Clearcut, Captain Extraction, who probably believes that the next step for Canada should be a series of strip mines. Because after all, you can't have forest fires if there are only holes in the ground where the forest used to be, right? Pretty smart guy.
It's so hard to believe that this is a fella who represents a part of the country that depends on forestry as a primary industry. It is either the first or second most important economic driver in the state of Wisconsin. So Tom Tiffany should be smarter. Turn to the foresters and learn what this means. Yes, there is responsible forestry management, but that doesn't mean clear cutting. That doesn't mean that all the underbrush needs to go away. That seems neat if you are somebody who lives in a suburban area and wants to clean up your yard, but that's not how forests work. So maybe Tom Tiffany needs a little education. I suspect quite a few of our congresspeople do.
Well, their education is just, you know, what does industry want? And let's just give that to them and that will take care of our problems. No, it will create a whole new series. And you know, we don't need to talk about what they want to do to groundwater. Let's just be concerned about what they want to do to our forest to get to the groundwater.
Yes, and industry, actually, much of the forestry industry is into conservation. They work hand in hand with conservation efforts, with the DNR, because they recognize that they have to have sustainable forests if they're going to have a future in the industry. So don't be fooled. They are not actually even representing forestry as a profession and as an economic driver in the state.
Yeah. Hey, EAA Air Venture starts a week from today down in Oshkosh. Woo! Is that, I have not attended. Have you?
Once.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really an airplane person, but it is a huge deal.
It is a very huge deal. And I was looking at the Oshkosh Northwestern here, and they've already got a preview for the 72nd edition. Justin Marville put it together for the Northwestern, said that two Goodyear blimps are set to make their return to Air Venture. All the air shows will begin coming up next Monday as well. Let's see, there will be 700...
Wait, look at Parker's face. Parker's like having a moment right now.
Yeah. Did you say there's going to be two blimps there?
I said two Goodyear blimps, marking Goodyear's centennial anniversary of flying airships.
Aren't there like seven blimps in the world?
That's how blimp-worthy this event is.
It's blimp-worthy.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yes.
That's wild.
It's described in his article as essentially flights Disney World, with the pomp and spectacle of the aeronautics industry, from flying cars to fighter jets and flight simulations.
It's really cool. Even if you're not into planes like me, it's still really cool.
Yeah, there will be 860 exhibitors, 98 countries represented at least, and like I said, about 700,000 visitors. And, you know, I should let this go at this point, because you know who's going to really want to talk about it in less than 30 minutes is going to be Brittany Merlot.
who like camps, like literally camps there, you know, when she can. So
she's an EAA fangirl.
Yes. Alicia writes on YouTube, I got to find the photos from my first EAA air venture. And she also says, I think we need to sit these members of Congress down to watch the Lorax, talking about, you know, what's happening with the forests in Canada and everything else.
I think they could understand it on that level.
Whatever it takes, frankly, at this point, to try to get some kind of a message through to them. Over the weekend, again, you were traveling and just got back, so I'm guessing you have not seen the new Superman movie that came out over the weekend here.
No. Tell me more.
Well, I was just looking at the weekend box office here, and it says that in a bid to kick off a new era for DC Studios, James Gunn's Superman opened with $122 million in U.S. and Canadian ticket sales over the weekend. The roughly on-target opening was the third largest of the year so far, and the first of the DC Comics to surpass $100 million in its opening since Wonder Woman back in 2017. But here's the thing. Ticket sales were relatively soft for Superman overseas. In 78 international markets, it grossed only $95 million, including in China, just $6 million in sales. Because, of course, it is a quintessential American character. And America's image, taking a bit of a beating here because of our own little Lex Luthor in the White House right now.
Oh, I like that analogy. That's
see what
good.
I did there, huh? Uh-huh. So you had Superman at $122 million, Jurassic World Rebirth at $40 million, F1 the movie at $13 million, How to Train Your Dragon raised $8 million, and Elio at $4 million over the weekend. Thought about that yesterday, that you could go to a nice air-conditioned theater, not have to worry about the wildfire smoke, and go see a movie. Would have had to get off my butt to do it. And there was just too much to get done around the house. And it actually was nice. I mean, it's one thing if it's like a rainy, stormy day, or there's a blizzard, or it's really cold, and you go, all right, this is a day for getting stuff done around the house. Yesterday, instead, it was like, well, it looks really bad out there. It's sunny, it's breezy, but that smoke, I mean, you'd step outside for a second and you'd swear it was like somebody put a whole bunch of campfires in the lot next door. And we said, nope, let's just get things done around the house. And it's amazing how many little things that you've neglected around the house you can get to when the circumstances warrant it, you know.
And you're given permission to stay in the house, like probably not a great idea to be outside, as much as in the summer I want to be outside all the time. But on days like this, I think I might actually be able to empty my inbox today.
One more note about the weekend marked the 40th anniversary of Live Aid. And I have not asked you if Live Aid was something that you tuned into. Were you a part of? It seemed like this global phenomenon at the time, and I'll share my story in a minute, but do you have a Live Aid story?
Oh, it's not a story. I was just glued to the TV set because I loved all of that. That actually might be part of the reason that I do all of the philanthropic work that I do, because of what they did and why they did it. And those were all my heroes who were doing it. So they were modeling it for me.
They were. I mean, again, it was extremely altruistic. You're feeding hungry people in another part of the world. And you're doing it through two different concerts on two different continents, including, who was it? Was it Phil Collins that played both Wembley Stadium and was in Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah. Didn't he get on the Concorde?
Yeah, on the Concorde.
Yes.
You know, and it was just amazing. And my story is I was living, you know, going to UW Eau Claire at the time, taking summer classes and living just off Water Street, which was not particularly a good thing to do if you were going to be studying over the summer. But somehow I managed to make that happen. And so my housemates and I, there were six of us living in the house, and we decided we were going to tape the whole thing. on cassette tapes. And that way we were going to have, I mean, talk about a box set. We were going to have cassettes with the entire concert. And it was funny to watch this, like, hour after hour, like, whose turn is it to replace the, oh, wait, do we not have enough tape? Well, we'll tape over this one. Yeah, we don't need this Huey Lewis in the news. We can buy a new one of those. We got to tape Live Aid. And it probably lasted 6 hours tops before we all just like, forget it. Okay, let's just enjoy it. Plus, it was a nice day outside, so we would kind of come in and out. So we weren't glued the entire time, but it was an event. I mean, especially for people your age, my age, We were glued. We wanted to watch that. And like you said, it just made us feel better. Like there is a difference to be made out there in the world.
And fortunately now there's YouTube, so we can watch great things like Freddie Mercury and Queen and Radio Gaga. Amazing.
We don't need my cassette tape player. Exactly. A local update is next for some of you. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the greatest pop rock of the 60s and 70s. The Happy Together Tour 2025 with the Turtles. Jay and the Americans. Little Anthony. Gary Puckett and the Union Gap. The Vogues and the Cow Sills. August 10th at the Bank 5-9 main stage at Wisconsin State Fair. Get tickets now at wistatefair.com. Wisconsin State Fair presented by U.S. Cellular.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our partners like your local county veteran service officer, we can help access the benefits you've earned and the support you need. For more information, please visit WISVETS.com. That's WISVETS.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. If you've been listening to Civic Media, you know there's been an ongoing and very upsetting situation going on with the Milwaukee County Transit System. Last week, I played for you some interviews that Maggie Dawn did with Angela Lang as well as Stephanie Bloomingdale to give some light into what's going on with the workers, specifically with the contract negotiations happening. But that's just one component to the full story. And I invited Dan Schaefer, the political editor for Civic Media and the founder of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, to give us kind of a primer on what is happening so far with the Milwaukee County bus system. Dan, can you please provide context to this ongoing situation?
So there was some news in late June in Milwaukee County that surprised leaders at the county level, the county executive and the county board. The transit system announced that they are having a projected $10 million budget gap and that they are going to have to cut bus frequency beginning as soon as August. So that has led to quite a bit of strife within the county transit system. There have been the interim president and CEO has resigned. The head of the Milwaukee County Department of Transportation has resigned. And there are a whole lot of questions about what's next for Milwaukee County Transit and the bus system there.
I imagine one of the biggest questions that's being asked is, how did this happen?
I mean, it's because it has been such a surprise, people are not entirely sure. There's, you know, some of this has to do with, you know, people avoiding paying their bus fares, some, you know, just different kind of enforcement of that. But also, it just seems like a mismanagement in leadership. I don't think we'd be seeing these resignations if this was, you know, just attributable to, you know, fare evasion or whatever it might be. It seems like there are some real problems within the agency there that has, you know, really come to the surface in a pretty problematic way.
Are there any discussions about what needs to happen next? Because, I mean, this, unfortunately, in a situation such as mass transit, it directly affects those who are riders. And we've seen so many times where, you know, fares go up, hours are cut, routes are changed to save money. Also, employee retention as far as the labor union and the contract disputes and whatnot. I mean, this has to have a massive effect on those who actually ride the bus.
Yeah, this is rippling out in a number of different ways. You know, certainly it's going to impact people who, like you said, ride the bus and use that as their daily commute to get to work, whatever it might be. There are tens of thousands of people who ride the bus every day in Milwaukee. So mm-hmm. This is not an insignificant amount of people that this is directly impacting, but it's also impacting the people who work for county transit as well. So the Milwaukee County Transit System drivers voted on July 9th, 98% in favor of authorizing a strike. So that doesn't mean that they will guarantee a strike will occur. It's more of just like gauging where union members in the Amalgamated Transit Union 998 representing Milwaukee County's drivers vote where they are at with this, because that is part of this too, because I think, you know, we're just overall have been going backwards on bus service in Milwaukee County for quite some time. It seemed like things were starting to stabilize post-pandemic. There was the introduction of the new bus rapid transit line that goes from Wauwatosa right to downtown Milwaukee along the lakefront there. That has been a successful route, but that success has not been felt everywhere throughout the system. And then with this mismanagement and whatever else is happening there, we're still learning a lot of these details. A lot of this is still less than 2 weeks old since they made this announcement, so we're still unpacking a lot of this, but it's pretty concerning for people who use the bus. And I think, you know, it would not be all that surprising considering this vote to see some sort of action taken by the transit union as well.
What has been coming out of the county offices, whether it's the transit or the county executive? Is there any sort of statements being made by them to the people to say, look, we understand what's going on. We are going to work to find a solution to make sure those tens of thousands are taken care of?
Yeah, I mean, David Crowley said he and the county supervisors were not informed of the deficit prior to its announcement to the press. So it was a surprise to them as much as it was a surprise to the public. And according to Urban Milwaukee, their reporting has shown that Milwaukee County Comptroller Liz Sumner, who was a former county board executive or county board supervisor in the Shorewood area, announced that her office will be conducting a formal audit of the Milwaukee County Transit System to really try to get to the bottom of what happened here. And I think, again, just to go back to the personnel issues here, you had the Milwaukee County Director Donna Brown Martin announced her resignation shortly after this was announced. The CEO, Julie Esch, announced that she would be resigning. And this follows in late 2024, former managing director, basically the CEO role, Denise Wandke, also resigned. So really a ton of turnover in this organization over the last, you know, 9 months or so here. And it's bad times for Milwaukee County Transit System right now.
Absolutely. The relationship with mass transit here in Wisconsin, specifically southeastern Wisconsin, has been an ongoing saga. Thanks for dropping by, Dan.
Thanks, Greg.
I want to thank Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, for being here, stopping by and having a chat with me about the Milwaukee County transit system. We'll be talking about this situation as more details come to light and keep people informed on what's going on, because as we know, this directly affects so many people, and we want to make sure that no one gets left behind on the topic. If you want to read more from Dan, you can subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. It's very, very affordable and informative to hear in Wisconsin. Won many, many awards. And you can also catch his Recombobulation Minute, which is available on civicmedia.us/shows. Click shows and it's going to be right for you to download directly to your device and listen to it whenever you would like, wherever you like. It's just that simple. Go to civicmedia.us/shows. And another great way to keep in touch with what we're doing here at Civic Media is to subscribe to our shows as a podcast. Go to your podcast distribution center of choice, search for one of our shows, and boom, you've subscribed. And then it's going to be delivered to your device every time a new episode is available. Also, and this is a small request, if you think we've deserved it, give our shows a 5-star rating there as well, because that does a lot for visibility in the ratings and allows people to find us easier on those distribution centers. You're listening to WAUK's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report.
9 people lost their lives in this building last night.
Fall River, Massachusetts Fire Chief Jeffrey Bacon after flames consumed an assisted living facility that housed about 70 people. He says many were rescued, some of them carried out because they couldn't walk.
The police department, fire department, and EMS were able to enact dozens of rescues to save multiple lives in this case.
First responders had to fight their way through smoke and flames, with some residents screaming out windows, begging to be saved. The chief says it's left his entire department shaken.
I would say that for anybody that was at this scene last night, not just firefighters, police officers, EMS, to seek the help that you need to deal with the tragic situation like this. Nobody's programmed to deal with this.
Family members who showed up say police were trying to break windows to get in. The cause of the fire at Gabriel House is under investigation. CBS News special report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.